ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. The ultimate, Jim Traber, comes back after a two-week hiatus. We'll have that Barber Dyson Ford Jim Traber segment at 8:30. Unfortunately, in the last 2 weeks, there really isn't anything to talk about with him, so I have no idea the topics that we'll be able to hammer out here this morning, but I'm sure we'll find something to be able to discuss with the ultimate Jim Traber. Some big news out of the Olympics this morning. One player in and one team out of gold medal contention, as Simone Biles is going to compete in the balance beam final. So that's a good thing. And the women's soccer team isn't going to win the gold medal. That's a good thing, too, if you ask me. We can discuss that. Also, if our man Scott Garrison's listening, we might even – did you see what happened last night?
No.
In soccer?
No, I was not paying attention to soccer, no.
The United States men's national team, who has been the butt of soccer jokes since missing out on the World Cup.
Right, right.
Are they even in the Olympics? It feels like maybe not.
I...
Anyhow, essentially their B team beat Mexico to win the Gold Cup last night. 1-0. Is this finally?
Was it Mexico's B team?
No, I think it was kind of their team.
Huh.
They're getting older. The Mexican guys that you're, if you follow soccer, you know, some of them are getting older. But that's a good sign. Is this finally, you know, we've been told for what? Gosh, since the World Cup was here in 94, when they made a run to the, you know, into the knockout portion. You know, soccer's coming. It's never really has.
Right.
You know, MLS is there, and there's some things improving about that, but, I mean, no one would be silly.
I mean, the popularity is there, but it's not reflecting on the field on a national level.
Yeah, and I don't think it's quite as high as if you'd have told somebody that back in 1994, coming off that World Cup, that soccer would be where it's at right now. I think there would be some disappointment with popularity. I don't think it ever really blew up like folks were hoping it would. I mean, it's gotten bigger, there's no doubt about that,
yeah.
But it hasn't, you know, it never had that, you know, NASCAR meteoric rise that folks, I think, thought it might.
Right.
But on the field, is this maybe the springboard? You know, you're starting to Christian Pasilic. Pulisic, how do you say his name? I mean, he's like an international kind of star type of guy. Young guy from America playing in the Premier League in England.
Okay.
And so, we'll see. Next World Cup is what, next summer? In Qatar?
Yeah. Or is it? I thought they pulled it from him. I thought FIFA pulled it from them because they had some...
Pull it from Qatar?
Because there was some fishy business going on with money and how they got the... But I don't know. I don't know when it is.
I feel like it's 2022.
Next World Cup.
Because it's always in between the Olympics, right?
Well, it is Qatar or Qatar or whatever, how you say it. 2022. Okay. Yes.
So now we'll see if the United States can use this as a springboard.
Yes.
They can actually make the World Cup.
You know, it's supposed to take place. When do you think it's going to take place?
I think
place?
It's November, right?
Yeah, November 21st to December 18th.
Look at me, soccer over here.
I'm impressed.
I'm soccering to death.
Listen, I'm a fan. I'll admit, I'm a fan about every 4 years when the World Cup comes around. Or I pay attention about every 4 years. Now, locally, we pay attention, you know, to the Big Elks and Elkettes when they're hitting the pitch, as they call it, right?
Uh-oh. Our credibility may be about to go down if we have to get any further into it than this.
But international soccer or even MLS, we don't pay attention to that.
We're going to have to start calling it football.
No.
Football.
No.
By the time next summer rolls around. Anyway.
Speaking of soccer, I've been told Ted Lasso is a great show.
I've seen that too.
I've heard that too. I've had a friend tell me you've got to binge that show.
All right. So a little Olympics and soccer talk coming up, I guess.
Wow. Think we get Jim in on this talk?
No. That may be the first question. How excited were you last night? Here's the question. More excited for the men's win or the women's loss?
Yeah. That's a good question.
I'll ask you in a little bit. All right.
I didn't know about either of them until we just got on the air, so let me process this.
24th annual KECO Moran Equipment Open wrapped up on Saturday. We'll kind of wrap it up. It was a fantastic weekend. It really, really was. One of the best that I've been a part of. NBA free agency starts today. There's one major move, and it started yesterday, and it kind of raised my eyebrow, that would help the Thunder. And it has nothing to do with the Thunder being active in free agency. It's on from another squad, a move that a lot of people don't think is going to matter, but it at least opens up the door for good things for Oklahoma City with regards to future draft capital. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com. Hit the live, listen live button. Hit the play button. Stream us that way or download the Paragon Communications app. That app is full of goodies with three radio stations here in Elk City. You've got the Penny News, Paragon TV, Big Elk TV. What are we, 3 weeks from Thursday? Is that right?
I'm already thinking about getting ready for it today.
3 weeks from Friday, I guess. Yeah, it'll be a Friday start because it's the week before the rodeo and a home game. So 3 weeks from Friday, the Harvesters of Pampa, Texas, right here at Big Elk Stadium to open the 2021 season. Man, doesn't even seem possible. Also, Skinny on Sports podcast. Find it on iTunes. You can find it on KADSAM.com. You also find it on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen to what we had to say on a specific day. All right, Jared, I just told some of our coworkers, this is one of my favorite days, maybe my favorite Monday of the year.
Really?
Yes.
This particular Monday?
The Monday when our golf tournament is over.
Okay.
Just because it's a relief and a kind of a weight off of our shoulders, my shoulders. Just it's like, okay, now we can kind of exhale, take a breath, and at the start of next week, it's full bore. Go Big Elk, go Big Elk, go Big Elk football.
Right.
From your perspective, inside the luxurious confines of the trailer. Trailer's not even the right word. What would you call that? The RV.
The mobile RV. The mobile clubhouse.
Mobile clubhouse. What were your feelings? What were some of the, you know, you're kind of isolated as far as the comments of the people. Because nobody just comes running up in there to talk to you.
No.
But how did you feel from your side? How did you feel it went?
Oh, I thought it went great. I heard nothing but good things when I was able to. Every once in a while, I'd get out of there and go get something to eat. By the way, hats off to Moran Equipment and their boudin. Was it boudin sandwiches?
I never had a boudin. I had a sirloin sandwich, but I never had any of the boudin.
And the Red Knights with hamburgers. I mean, I ate well. You eat well at this tournament.
Best part about your place to set up you're right there
with the food. Yeah, when I left and I went to my sister-in-law's birthday party. Happy birthday to my sister-in-law Jamie, by the way, yesterday. But we went to her. I was late to the party, obviously. Said, hey, you hungry? We got plenty of food. I was like, no, I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry.
It's the last thing I am.
I'm good. No, I thought it went well. Everybody was, like I said, every time I was able to talk to somebody, everybody was in. I didn't hear one complaint about anything. Even though it was hot, the weather cooperated. Imagine if we had yesterday's weather.
Yeah.
It would have been a mess trying to get that played. But I thought everything went well, and as usual, and I'm excited. I saw you shared a Facebook post. It kind of dawned on me the next year might be the biggest one. Each year it seems like it's the biggest one, right? But next year, the 25th anniversary, the silver edition. I like that. So we'll have to really up our game next year. I don't know how we do it, but we keep improving it year after year. I thought the horse race was fun. We figured out how to broadcast that thing, and I went back and watched a little bit of that.
Me too.
That was good, but we can do better. But that's me. I'm always trying.
From what we had planned, the way to do it to where we ended up on the fly like that, it was awesome.
I thought it was fun, and the scoreboard we had. And by the way, so I was like, are these scores right? Some impressive scores were coming through. Is this right? The winning team had a 20 under.
Well, when you.
Was that right?
Yeah, that was right.
Okay.
And when then you'd see, if you're familiar with the holes, when twice in four holes, the team that won has a two on a par four.
Yeah.
I saw the tee shot on number 16 with my own eyes, and I could not believe it. So out here at our golf course, number 16, it's a short par four. It goes straight uphill.
Right.
I think on the card it says like 317 yards. Uphill, and it's always into the prevailing south wind.
Sure.
When those guys went through there, there was a point kind of in the mid-afternoon where the breeze picked up a little bit. They were through there earlier than that, but still, with the uphill, I wish I'd have had my rangefinder.
I meant to bring mine.
And go back when I saw that tee shot and I saw what, I heard the result, to go back there and shoot from the tee box to that pin, exactly how far that was.
Yeah.
I was really curious. But anyhow, he flew it on the green and it rolled up there to 2 feet, like dead center of the hole, like a putt.
Gotta be kidding me.
And then, so that was 16. Then they make par on 17, the par three. Then they eagle 18, the par five. Then the same guy knocks it on the green on number one, and they make that one. So they make three eagles in four holes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, two of them were par fours. But you know what? There was the strongest field we've ever had in championship flight. I started going through the names, and people were texting me like, what? Is that guy on the horse race on Friday night?
Oh, right.
As we're going, like, wait a minute. Is that the real, whatever? And Hank Keeney was one that people were like, huh? Is that really Hank Keeney? Like the U.S. amateur champion Hank Keeney? Well, yeah, that's him, sure enough. Is that really Rian Gibson, the guy, that's on the Corn Ferry and PGA Tour? Really? I was thinking in my mind, I want to say we had up to maybe seven guys that have played a PGA Tour event or played in like if we expand this out, it's even more than that, but like in a U.S. amateur final. So like, there was a guy that just played in the U.S. Open Senior Tournament. This year, the actual U.S. Open in Omaha, Nebraska. Hank Keeney won the U.S. Amateur back in the day. Rian was on with us. He's played in the British Open. Another guy played in the British Open. There was, as far as the championship flight, the word got out to, and they'd never been here. A bunch of those guys had never been. And so the word got to them somehow, and I wish we would know how we did that. We kind of joked about it last week, but the word also got to Tony Romo. Tony Romo was coming to our golf tournament before he was asked and given an exemption into the Texas State Open, which was played last Tuesday through Friday. And that makes it tough from Tyler, Texas to Elk City, Oklahoma on a Friday night, Saturday morning, to get here or what and not really be here for the weekend. So, but I mean, that's just it felt like the caliber of the field in the championship flight was as high as it's ever been. And the scores showed it. But here was the cool thing. it wasn't just those tour guys. You know, you had the Jeremy's guy, the Path to Miracles guys, with 60. I think Jack is 68 years old. Jack Christian, He was right there, toe to toe with the young guys, with him, Justin Barrick, Cooper Barrick, and Luke Phillips. You're talking about local Western Oklahoma flavor with that team that was a shot out of the playoff. Then my cousin and Taylor Cameron and Joby Gray tied for second. You know, so it wasn't. Yeah. I mean, it. Also heard that, you know, some of the guys like, man, I can't compete. I can't do this. There's too many. But the truth is, on any certain day, and that's the beauty of our golf tournament, I think, is it's one day. You don't have to do it twice.
Right.
You don't have to prove it. It's not like horse where you make a half quarter and then, oh, got to prove it, you know, to do it again. That doesn't have to happen. So on any given day, any given Saturday, somebody's putter gets hot. You know, we had an ace. We had somebody knock it in from the fairway on a par four. Thumper and them drove two greens on par fours and made putts for eagles. Little things like that happen. And next thing you know, a team that nobody really thought about having a legit chance is a shot back, tying for second, and then going back through the round going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe we missed that one putt. You know,
and
would have been right there with those guys. But congrats to everybody. You know, and then the A flight, the B flight, C flight. good quality all the way through it. And a hat tip to everybody here on our side of it. A huge hat tip to Josh and the people at Moran Equipment that were out there. I thought the game that they came up with was really cool. People loved it. Where, you know, you spun the wheel from 100 yards, you've got your name drawn out of the hat, and you hit whatever club it told you, from putter to driver, all the way through the back. So it's not like it was just a normal old, hey, go out to the 100-yard mark and hit your sand wedge. You had to hit whatever it told you. And so that was pretty cool.
That's cool. I didn't know how that was working. And when that was happening, we were starting to tear down, take down signs.
And then the playoff had to happen as well because of time. I mean, just pure light standpoint, you got to get that thing going as fast as you can, because you just don't know how long it's going to last.
Right.
And so we could probably tweak that a little bit to get everyone watching or somehow to get that working. But that was cool. People liked it. People liked the idea, you know, watching those. Sometimes some of those guys that come that are great, great golfers, that stuff kind of, I don't know, annoy, but they're just too cool for it. That didn't seem to be the case at all. A lot of those guys were like, this is a cool idea.
Yeah.
So there's definitely things that we can make better. I think the horse race of figuring out how to just get more coverage camera wise from different angles, you know, that is obviously one.
Well, I think we know now. Yeah. You know, because that was the first time we implemented basically two cameras on a mobile system like we did. Well, now I think we know, okay, this is where we got to be for this hole. This is where we got to be positioned. This is, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And for us doing it on the fly, I thought it worked pretty well.
Yeah,
it
looked good too.
And we can turn around and make it better, like I said. So, you know, we got a whole year now to get ready for that. And do we have a date for next year?
Not yet. I think it may be a little bit different. We may not have a whole year. We may have more like 11 months.
Okay.
But plenty of time. Also, thanks to all the sponsors that helped us out.
Absolutely.
With the golf tournament, obviously. And finally, a hat tip to Ed Hughes and his staff. You want to talk about...
That's the one thing I kept hearing. This course looks great.
That was the kind of... To a man, you know, I was out there trying to get the scores for the championship black guys to help you out with the scoreboard and whatnot. And to a man out there on the green as they're putting, they're like, man, this place is unbelievable. Greens are great. The golf course is great shape. So hat tip to Ed and his staff for sure for allowing, you know, those conditions. And, you know, that's the one thing about, you know, a tournament like that. When guys of the caliber that were there see, you know, wait a minute. Whoa.
As I was kind of alluding to when I was
makes
talking
you want to come
to,
back.
To Rand Gibson, I was kind of hoping to meet. I didn't have a chance to meet him, but I was kind of hoping to pick his brain. Well, what did you think about this course? Because you know, he's played on some really nice courses, and I don't doubt he'd put Elk City Golf and Country Club up there with him.
Yeah, he said it was great.
Yeah. Good weekend.
It'd have been hard to find complaints there. But, yeah, it was a great weekend. Everything went off. Almost everything went off without a hitch. So,
thought it went well.
Thanks to everybody. Thanks for playing, everybody. We'll have the winners on the Skinny on Sports Report tonight.
Cool.
I'll wrap it up because I got to find them. I can't remember who all they were. Jim Traber coming up in the next segment here in about 6 minutos at 9:30. NBA free agency starts today, this afternoon. A couple of different noteworthy items from yesterday prior to that free agency period starting. One of those is that Chris Paul turned down his, $44 million player's option for this year. So he becomes an unrestricted free agency. A free agent. And then also Kawhi Leonard turned down his player option. Now, both are expected to re-sign with their current teams. I think Chris Paul is going to give up some money up front for years on the back end, meaning instead of one for 44, he's liable to get, you know, three for 80 or something like that. Kawhi Leonard, on the other hand, kind of the same thing. You wonder if that injury didn't change his mindset of more from kind of a year to year to, ooh, that security of having a four-year deal is a big thing in case I get hurt. You wonder if that didn't hurt. And all signs point to him going back to the Clippers. But we all know that he's just a little bit – he kind of beats to his own drum, right? Mm. It's just a little different than some of these other guys.
Yeah.
And so this does – him making this move actually does kind of crack the door just a little bit for a chance at Kawhi Leonard not being with the Clippers. And that affects the Thunder immensely because
right.
the Thunder owns the Clippers' first-round pick in next year's draft. And, oh, by the way, that pick is completely unprotected.
Yeah, so you would hope, as a Thunder fan, he opts to go somewhere else and the Clippers are mediocre next year, if not maybe worse. So get that pick up there pretty high. Yeah, but you're right. All reports showing that he is expected to stay with them, and I think he declined the option for what you mentioned earlier was to get more security of a deal in case injuries happen. And, you know, that injury, by the way, you know, that's unfortunate for Thunder fans. Imagine if the Clippers are 100% and they still
got knocked out.
And, like, well, and he got him thinking, well, I tried it here and it didn't work. So I'll go try it in Dallas or I'll go try it in wherever.
Well, think about this. Before the injury happened, they lose the first two games on their home floor to the Dallas Mavs and then are getting blown out in game three in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Dallas holds on to that lead and they get knocked out in the first round. To your point,
yeah.
Then what happens?
Right.
Is this a, okay, I've been here 2 years. This clearly isn't working. We're going backwards. And this thing is going to have to get blown up and I want to go somewhere else. Doesn't look like that's what's going to happen. But the possibility does exist because he opted out of the last year of his contract. Now, other suitors can come calling, and maybe somebody, you know, knocks his socks off.
Yeah, these guys, these NBA players, we know they love to be courted. They love to be loved. So he's going to answer the phone calls. He's going to be wined and dined, you know. But I think at the end of the day, he's going to stay with the Clippers. Now, Chris Paul, I think he's declining the option to maybe restructure it to be more flexible for Phoenix so Phoenix can improve around him. I think, and he's indicated he wants to stay in Phoenix. And, you know, at this point of his career, I mean, he's made plenty of money and, you know, but what do they say? The rich always want to get richer. I think in his case, he's a smart guy. He wants to get back to championship. To the NBA Finals. He wants a championship. I think he thinks that he can do it in Phoenix. So him turning down his option, I think, means not so much more for security, but to allow the organization to be more flexible this offseason, probably starting today at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And then you have him, if you're Phoenix trying to court other players to that team, you've also got the ability to say, well, Chris is going to be here for 3 years. 2 years, 3 years, he's in.
Right.
You know, and anymore, a lot of these guys, that's all they're wanting to commit to anyhow and have those player options. That way, if they can, you know, think the grass is greener somewhere else, be able to turn those player options down and redo this ever so often. I think it's a it's just I can't wait to see what how the dynamic maybe changes because Milwaukee won for these small market teams, and obviously the Thunder is top of mind here. Does this help them be able to keep teams together? You know, for the Thunder, the one thing that's going to matter more than anything at 5 o'clock is Shea. Are they going to nail him down to a, you know, 5-year max contract, paying him $160 million or whatever, $165 I think is what it is, for him to be able to then kind of do that themselves? And or are they going to want to right now? You know, because they're still kind of in that mode of, do we really want to win? Are we, you know, do we get the right guys in the draft? Do we need to try this again to build something around him a little bit more high profile through the draft? Obviously, there's been such difficulty getting free agents here through, even when the Thunder were phenomenal, there weren't free agents knocking the door down to play in Oklahoma City. So that leads you to believe it's going to be draft and it's going to be trades. It are going to be the way that the Thunder can build these pieces around Shea, and all signs point to him signing that deal, which a lot of times this first contract isn't really the one you worry about because you have the ability to match anything, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's the next one when you worry about the player actually fleeing from the Thunder. But I think that's the things to watch for Oklahoma City is, one, does Shea sign that deal, which he's really expected to? And number two, Kawhi Leonard. All eyes on Kawhi Leonard and what he does. You know, the Rockets, that's down the road. The Rockets picks don't start till like 2024. So I guess you hope Jalen Green's a bust, trade John Wall, that kind of stuff for later on down the line for Oklahoma City. It's time for the Barber Dyson Ford Traber segment. Monday visits to the Skinny on Sports for Jim here in July and August. Brought to you by Barber Dyson Ford. They're celebrating 27 years of being your truck headquarters in Western Oklahoma, the Texas Panhandle. Congratulations on receiving the two service awards, that President's Award and also the Ford Elite Award. And now joining us is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how you doing?
I'm good, fellas. Here you guys are trying to recover from your big golf tournament.
Yeah, everybody's has kind of the droopy eyes and tired after, you know, setting up for that thing and getting it all finished. It's one of the, I told Jared earlier, one of my favorite Mondays of the year is this one because we got it done, everything went off without a hitch, and now we've got another 10 months or so before we have to start worrying about getting that thing put together again.
Well, that's really cool you guys do that. I am. I haven't been able to talk to you guys in a while. Nothing's happened in the last couple of weeks. That's good.
Yeah, that's you know, it's the way it goes, I guess. In July, nothing happens, and we look forward to football. Okay, you know, I think the biggest story I can remember in sports, at least in these parts, was and now, you know, it's official. Oklahoma and Texas are going to join the SEC. How surprised were you that they were able to keep this such a secret ahead of that Houston Chronicle story, when basically everything was done? It was just a matter of, you know, finishing out the process of making that move.
I was shocked. I mean, I really was. I mean, you can't keep anything a secret nowadays. And, you know, I think that, and I'm certainly not trying to say that I was this way, I think that all of us really should have figured out that something was happening when Joe Castiglione came out and started talking about the 11 a.m. kickoff. You know, I came on the air and said, well, it's obvious that he, you know, he's been around so long and he's so powerful now that he kind of feels like he can say what he wants to say. But really, in my opinion, they knew then. They knew that it was happening then, guys, because he just came out and blasted the Big 12 for that. And you don't ever see athletic directors do that. You know, if you heard my show last week, guys, and literally I think that my truth serum has been put into the vaccine, because people all throughout sports now are just telling the truth. I love it. And Joe Castiglione did it back then, and I think that that was it wasn't the number one reason why they left. Obviously, money is the number one reason, but they were upset about that, and I think that Fox and especially ESPN kind of were like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, we'll talk to you again soon. And they were like, nope, we won't talk to you again soon. So I thought it was very, very shocking, guys.
Yeah, once you kind of hear it happen and then start looking back at kind of the events that occurred to push it forward, that day, I remember that statement being released with you and Al talking about it, and both were just shocked that he would mention TV partners and that kind of thing. And then the other one was before that, when, you know, the Big 12 went to ESPN, went to Fox, trying to renegotiate that contract a couple of years ahead of time, and Fox just said no. And then the SEC gets $3 billion for 10 years. Maybe that's when we all should have thought, uh-oh, this may be the end, and kind of started kind of keeping our ear to the ground to hear anything that might have come out of those talks.
Well, we probably should have, I guess. But, you know, I mean, Fox and ESPN are losing money. I mean, that's all they do. They overbid, and then they lose money. So I didn't think it wasn't shocking that they would say no, right? Would anybody be surprised?
No.
And I guess the word is late in this whole thing, I guess Fox and ESPN came to Texas and OU and said, hey, why don't you just become, independents, and we'll just pay you a whole bunch of money. So, look, this was inevitable. We may not have saw it as inevitable. And I'm happy, I'm happy, man. You know, I mean, you guys probably weren't listening to me, 10, 11 years ago, but I was pushing for this back then. I think that if they'd have done it back then, I think OSU might have been able to go with them. But, this is, it's great for OU and it's sad for OSU, but obviously, OSU's got to kick it in and, put their big boy panties on and get after it.
You mentioned OSU. Stick with the truth serum here. Give us a scoop. Have you heard anything? Where are they going to go? Are you plugged in up there in Stillwater? Have you heard anything? Well, anything at all?
Well, I mean, I've heard a lot of things, but nobody knows exactly where they're going to go. By the way, I rip Mike Gundy all the time. I thought his statement the other day to Marty Smith was right on the money.
Yep.
I mean, he was truthful. Matter of fact, I wish that the president would have said kind of the same thing that he said. It would have looked a lot better. Look, here's the deal, fellas. There's no chance they're going to the Big Ten. I mean, no chance. The Big Ten doesn't want them. They would never want OSU. It's just the way it is. Nothing against OSU. It's just the way it is. The ACC makes absolutely no sense at all. They're just going to put a team out in the middle of nowhere into their conference? No, that's not going to happen. West Virginia's going to go into the ACC, I'm pretty sure. The only one that they can go to is the Pac-12. And I'm telling you guys, all this junk about, the AAC and let's make a big conference, that would be the biggest disaster for Oklahoma State ever. The money would go way down. It would be terrible. So they've got to be working their tails off to get in the Pac-12. And the way I understand it from people that I've talked to, that's happening. They're trying to get into the Pac-12. The Pac-12 better realize that they're, holier than thou, highfalutin academia that they love to preach about. They've got to come off of that a little bit. They're going to have to. Unless they want to bring in, some school that's, great academically, you can't do a daggone thing in sports. And by the way, some of the schools in the Pac-12 are not like high, big high-end schools. Arizona State and Arizona, they're okay. Not like they're a whole bunch better than, an Oklahoma State. So, Oregon State, people like that, Washington State. So, anyway, that's where they got to go, Jared. That's the only place that they can go. And if it doesn't work out for them, this will be a major league disaster. And I said on television last night, I was going to bring it up today on the radio. I really didn't bring it up last week. If I'm OSU and I'm talking to the Pac-12, let's just say for the sake of argument that they go to the Pac-12 and eventually they're going to make $35 million a year. Let's just say that's what it's going to be. I am telling the Pac-12, hey, listen, guys, let's start out. Give us $20 million the first year. You guys can keep the rest. And then give us $25 and then $30 and then $35. I mean, I'm saying that's how desperately they need to get into this conference. I would say to them, hey, we'll go ahead and take a little bit less early for just you in good faith for you guys letting us in. And then we'll get up to speed in a couple of years.
I'm serious. This is all about money. The Pac-12 is not making a bunch of money. So I would even think about doing something like that, guys.
Yeah, because it feels like the Big 12, in Bowlesby in particular, they're doing what they have to do, I guess, to try to keep this thing together, you know, for what the conference is and for what their jobs are. But, you know, you're exactly right. Oklahoma State and everybody else that's left over, for that matter, that is just not the right move to try to combat everything else around the country. I mean, and no offense to the SMUs and the Houstons and that kind of thing that you're hearing, trying to pull them into the Big 12 and whatnot, that doesn't replace Oklahoma and Texas in the minds of the most important people, and those people are the TV folks that are going to dish out the huge bucks that those Big 12 schools that are left over are used to getting.
Well, Skinny, nothing, and I mean nothing, can replace OU and Texas. Nothing. There's nothing. Even if Arizona and Arizona State said, you know what, we're sick and tired of these people out here, we'll come and play in your conference. Okay, that would make it better, but it still doesn't replace OU and Texas. They're the two, they took the two biggest people out of the mix. And unfortunately, whether OSU fans like to hear it or anybody else, OU and Texas ran the conference, and with them out, it's over. I mean, I'm sorry, the conference is over, the Big 12 is over. And if they try to salvage it, it will be a disaster for OSU. And like I said last week, guys, there's never been a better time in the history of Oklahoma State for this to happen. Never. If this would have happened 15, 20 years ago, they would be playing with SMU. You can mark it down. Tulsa, SMU, Navy, that's where they'd be. But they have developed a tremendous brand. Now, are they a standalone brand? No. But they add a lot. And remember something, the Pac-12 loves Olympic sports. You know that, guys. Mm-hmm. They love it. Water polo and all that stuff that they love to play out there. And OSU has been great in those sports. They don't play water polo, but you know what I mean. So, it's a no-brainer. It was a no-brainer for OU to go. You know, I talked with Gottlieb this weekend, and I told him, I said, I love you, brother, but you're dead wrong, because, you know, he thinks that OSU wouldn't have done this. And I'm sorry, OSU would have definitely done it. And the thing that boggles my mind is that I've never, ever heard in my life of any type of business proposition ever where you talk to somebody else about it. This happens all the time when companies take over companies and things like that. So I just wish that the OSU fans now, and I think it's getting better, I wish that they would just shut up about OU and shut up about anything else. And just work your tails off to get to the next place, guys. You know, that's what they got to do. Is it hard? Sure it is. But it's time to get after it and work your tail off to get somewhere else. And do not even, if anybody comes to you, and Bowlesby, if anybody comes to you and says, hey, we think we can keep the Big 12 together, you just say, we'll stay together until we can. You see what I'm saying? That's what you say. We'll stay together until we make a decision on going somewhere else. That's what I would say. So there you go. You can say what everybody wanted OU to say to OSU. OSU can say that to the Big 12. We'll stay here until we're leaving. Right, guys?
Yeah. And that's my next question. There's no doubt that losing Oklahoma and Texas is going to be the death nail of the Big 12. But that's not going to be the catalyst for it to break up from here. So what is the next move? Is it just one team bolting? Does it have to be multiple teams? You know, you mentioned West Virginia, the ACC. That makes so much sense that you're almost scared it won't happen. You know what I'm saying, with the way that everything goes. But is it just simply West Virginia going, yep, ACC for us, and that's officially the end of the Big 12? Then everybody starts, you know, grabbing a hold of the life rafts and getting on different ships?
Well, I made a bold prediction last week that – might not come true, but I said by the end of the football season, I think West Virginia will announce they're going to the ACC. But remember now, you got to worry about all these grant of rights and money and all that other stuff. This deal's not supposed to happen until July 1st of 2025. We all think that it's going to happen earlier than that, but we don't know when it's going to happen. Some think next year, some think the next year after that. But the Big 12 partners, especially Oklahoma State, because that's the only one I care about, because I don't care about the Big 12. Mm-hmm. I care about Oklahoma State. They need to get ahead of it. So if there's a chance that OU and Texas are out next year, then OSU needs to be out next year too. They do not need to play a year of eight teams, or even 2 years of eight teams in this league. When OU and Texas leaves, OSU needs to leave as well. Now, could that be tough? Sure, it could. But that's what I'm saying. You got to make any concessions you possibly can to get out at the right time. Because I don't know if the Big 12 plays a season with only eight teams without OU and Texas. To me, that'll be a little bit of a fiasco. And then what? OSU wins the league, let's say, and are they going to get into the? What are they going to be treated like? They're going to be treated like they're a Power 5 conference, or are they going to be treated like they're the AAC? Because that conference right there would be terrible. I mean, it's just that simple. That conference would be terrible. If OSU wins it, I doubt they'd get into a playoff, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely depend on what was on their non-conference schedule, for sure, I think. Okay, so you mentioned, you know, 2025 is the date that's official, and we all know that's legalese. If you had to bet your next paycheck, I know you like this game. If you had to bet your next paycheck, which year do you think that Oklahoma and Texas are in the ACC, and then also everybody else, or in the SEC, excuse me, and then everybody else, do they stay, or does everybody leave at once and the Big 12 is no more?
I thought you had another breaking story. Now we're going to the ACC, which, by the way, could very well happen. We got no idea. I think it's next year, guys. If I had to bet my next paycheck, I'd say next year. I mean, I think that there is so much contention right now between all of these people. I think Bob Bowlesby, the things that he said were, mind-boggling. You know, he's ripping into ESPN. He's ripping into and ESPN is saying they didn't do anything, which I'm sure they did. And you got this, you know, you got the Longhorn Network, and you got all this money that needs to be paid. So I don't see how in the world they'll keep playing. I really don't. I don't know how in the world. How could Joe Castiglione go into a meeting with the rest of the other athletic directors? There might be a fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, think about it. Remember something now. I think Oklahoma State is in better shape. What about Baylor? No one's taking Baylor. The Pac-12's not taking because they're way too Christian for them, right? I hate to say that, but that's the truth. TCU might have Christian in their name, but they don't really act like they're Christian, so they could get in. Kansas has a chance because of basketball, and maybe Kansas State goes with them. Poor Iowa State, I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe they'll get lucky. They are a very accredited school, so maybe they'll get in to maybe the Big Ten will take Kansas. But, you know, I guess there's a law in the state of Kansas that Kansas and Kansas State have to stay together. So I think a lot of those schools are a lot worse off. But like I told you before, I don't care about any of those schools. I care about OSU. And I think that next year this thing's going to break up. And I think that if they had to play 1 year of the Big 12 just because of logistics, then I'd say okay. But, man, that's why I want OSU to get ahead of this thing. I'd like to see OSU in the next few months get a commitment from the Pac-12 and try to keep it quiet. If not, fire it out there. You know, one of the great things that will, you know, you want to know one of the greatest things for all those little OSU fans, I say little because they drive me crazy, for all those OSU fans out there that just cry about what OU has done and blah, 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 one of the greatest things ever would be in October, like the week of a football game, that OSU comes out and says, we will next year be going into the Pac-12, you can't say next year because they can't pay the rights thing. They'd have to wait until the thing breaks down. But just say, we've come to an agreement with the Pac-12, we're very happy with it, although we'd love to stay in this conference. It's going to work out great for us. It would look like they're by themselves. You know what I'm saying, guys? It wouldn't be like they're the little brother anymore.
Right.
It would be, this is a decision we've made. We were forced to do it, but we did it, and it's going to work out great. That would be one of the greatest things in the history of Oklahoma State, if you ask me.
Yeah, it'd be a good look for them to be the first school to announce we're out, you know, and to stand alone and do it. You know, it's like they're not holding hands with other schools doing it at the same time. If they individually did it.
But, Jared, they'd have to hold hands, unfortunately.
Well, I mean,
there's no way, you know,
I'm excited if the Pac-12's a thing. I know I'm a weird guy around here who loves softball, but I think that'd be an awesome addition for Coach Gajewski to go to the Pac-12 and play the Arizonas and UCLA's of the world. That'd be awesome for his program.
Sure it would. Absolutely it would, yeah. And by the way, OU softball team's going to go get some too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Georgia and Alabama and Florida. I mean, that'll be some great stuff. So, look, guys. You guys know me well. Now, I've been on the show a long time. I don't care about a conference. I don't care about uniforms. I don't care about none of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I just care about watching some great football. And I can't imagine how great it'll be on one Saturday to go to Norman and watch OU against LSU. And then the following Saturday, go to Stillwater and watch USC come to town. I mean, I'm sorry. That's cool to me. Instead of watching some of these, the Big 12. And, you know, I'm interested to see what my boy Al Esbeck says when he gets home.
Right.
Because we used to have massive arguments about this. And then when the Big 12 started making money, and good money, I said to Al, I said, well, I was wrong, Al, because I thought the Big 12 was going to fall apart. And I said, Al, I was wrong. Even though I still probably was wrong, it does look like that OU and Texas kind of felt the same way about this conference. Am I right, guys? Because they didn't want to fight to keep this thing alive.
No, heck no. If this was 2011, they fought hard to try to keep A&M and Nebraska and Colorado and Missouri in it. But the truth of it is, as soon as that happened, these other two had wandering eyes immediately because they could see the writing on the wall. This isn't the same conference that we joined in 1996. And it wasn't. It didn't have the same cachet nationally. And so, you know, money-wise, it was good for a while. But also, the money they're raking in the last 2 years is starting to kind of go down. They weren't going to get an extension early to bump that money back up. And then the SEC got that deal with ESPN done. Big Ten Network has been a boon for them. You know, that's one of the things looking back. Nebraska, OU, Texas A&M, who are going to be kind of the four that broke this thing up, they really broke it up way back when they wouldn't let Weiberg have to do a Big 12 network because they voted
that's
against
exactly
that.
Right.
You know, and so it's all been leading
and
down this road.
Remember this too, Skinny. They didn't want Louisville to come in.
Right.
Louisville was going to come. And they didn't want Louisville. And, you know, that would have been a lot better if Louisville and West Virginia would have come in. So, yeah, you're right. And now, the next big thing to look at is this playoff.
Right.
Because you saw Gene Smith from Ohio State now going, well, you know, we need to go ahead and step back on this 12-team play. Well, why is that? Because everybody's so mad at the SEC and ESPN now that, you know, they even came out and said, well, let's have somebody else put together a playoff. Let's look at some other playoff situations. Well, that means they want Fox now to bid on it. Well, if this becomes a bidding war, that's more money for everybody, right? Because
that's right.
We know ESPN will overspend, and we know Fox will overspend. And now, you know, Gene Smith is looking at this going, if we have a 12-team playoff and OU and Texas get in there, the SEC is going to get at least three teams and maybe five.
Right.
If they get five teams in and the Big Ten gets two, let me tell you something. They're going to be really mad. And we all know the Big Ten thinks they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. So now they're going to check this. And let me tell you, it'll be a disaster for OU if they don't go to a 12-team playoff. Because that's one of the reasons why they did it, guys. If it's a 14 playoff and OU and Texas go to the SEC, let me tell you something. OU's going to have a horrible time getting into that thing.
That's right.
They'll still get in some, but it's not. If there's a 12 team, they can just continue getting in every 3 out of 4 years. But with a 4-teamer, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but Alabama's not going anywhere, are they? Is Alabama leaving? I don't think so.
No. That's you feel like the move in their minds was contingent upon that expanding, and I just money. It's just like anything, though. You know, A&M. Acted like they didn't want this to happen back when they basically leaked the story out, you know. But
yeah, the athletic director, remember him?
Yes, yes, Ross Bjork.
Yeah.
And we were the only ones that wanted to be here from Texas. And then all of a sudden, the SEC said, "Well, it's worth another $25 million a year." Oh, never mind. Yes, and so
yeah,
money talks, and with the amount of money that'll be generated from that 12-teamer, I can't imagine that it doesn't fly. But I think you make a great point. If it's just four teams, then OU and Texas are going to look around and go, darn it, we had it way better where we were than where we ended up as far as being able to make that thing. Real quick, Thunder, I heard you say this, and it's so funny because I thought the exact same thing. Sam Presti, you compared him to Bobby Bethard on Friday. Just the smartest man in the room syndrome. Sometimes, you know, this one, you know, in the past, it hasn't been quite as important of a draft pick when he's kind of done this. It's been into the first round, second rounders, where there's somebody everybody wants, and he's like, no, I'm smarter than you. I'm taking Alex Abrines instead of Draymond Green or whatever it was. This one, though, with the number six pick, he better be the smartest man in the room, or this is going to be a disaster of a season with the way that the lottery came out and then making a bust of a pick. Just an absolute disaster of a season if this isn't the correct guy to choose at the sixth pick.
Well, and we won't know for a couple of years. And then you throw in the Turkish kid. I mean, they had him fall right into their lap at 16, and they traded it to Houston for what? More picks. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you kidding me? And they're protected. What are they, like 12 and 14?
Yeah, it's not 14.
I mean, that's
yep.
ridiculous. I mean, so you know, I'll tell you what. I'm really getting sick and tired of hearing about draft assets. I really am, dude. I am so sick and tired of hearing about it. Turn them into players. I mean, this kid's a good player. I mean, I'm sure you know, guys, let me tell you, one of the things that of doing this for a long, long period of time is when you get ready to do a radio show and things come up, it is hard not to come up with a take on something that will get people fired up, okay? You know, and if you do that, then there's a bunch of people out there that do get fired up. You're kind of showing you're trying to show people that you're kind of smarter than everybody else because you figured out an angle on it. Well, guys, I've been doing this for 27 years. I could very easily do that. I mean, you wouldn't know, right? Nobody would know.
Right.
That's not my real opinion. Because I'm showing everybody else, hey, listen, you probably didn't think about this. Now, there are times, as you guys well know, where I do say something and people go, gosh, I didn't think about that, or you're an idiot or whatever. But that's because how I really feel. I'm a little concerned that Sam Presti has been told for such a long period of time how smart he is that I think he's trying to prove it. I'm sorry. I could be wrong, but I think he's trying to prove it because he's taken a bunch of guys that at the same spot no one else would take. I mean, this man kid, Trey Mann, he could turn out to be a great player. He was bottom of the first round, beginning of the second round guy in every daggone thing I saw. And he takes him at number 18. Not as bad as Popovich taking his guy. But let me tell you something. Popovich is that way. Popovich yep. wants to tell everybody he knows more than everybody, right?
That's right. And where did Sam Presti come from?
Oh, gosh, yeah, San Antonio.
Yeah.
Yep. So I look, the guy is brilliant. He's much smarter than me. He's had some unbelievable drafts. He's had some really bad drafts. I'm sure that's the way it is after you do it. I've had some great shows. I've had some horrible shows. Okay, I mean everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that the Australian kid Giddy better be really good, and the Turkish kid better not be really good. Because if the Turkish kid turns out to be a star like many people think he's going to be, he's going to look ridiculous. Because he fell to his lap and said, "Nah, I'm going to give him to Houston." If he's great, if this dude comes in a couple of years and starts beating up on the Thunder with Houston, dude, they're going to have to kick me off the radio.
Yeah. Last thing, I can't believe we made it all the way 30 minutes without this question. Russell Westbrook to the Los Angeles Lakers. What are your thoughts? There's no in-between. It's either going to really, really work between him and LeBron, or about 30 games, 25 games in, LeBron's going to go, what in the world was I thinking?
Well, I thought Buddy Hield was a better fit for
him.
That's the first thing. Obviously not as good a player, but a better fit. And what I think is going to happen is I think that it's going to show exactly what I've been talking about for years about Russell Westbrook. He's not a winner. And I don't think they're winning. I think they're going to be good, obviously. They're going to be really good. But Anthony Davis is going to get hurt some. And Russell and LeBron are going to try to figure out who should handle the ball and who should do what. And my guess is they go to the finals of the West tops. And, you know, and by the way, a lot of pressure on Big Russ. This is some pressure now. He better get after it.
Yeah, it's his last chance. I mean, to prove everybody wrong, that he can fit in like he did early. You know, I think that's part of him. He fit in early. He had some games where he shot way too many times when the Thunder were really, really good. But for the most part, he would defer to Durant in those early years down the stretch of games. But as his stock rose, I think in his own mind it rose, and that's when he started having the problems that we all saw here at the end for him.
By the way, four teams in 4 years. Huh? Big Russ. Trying to figure it out. Trying to prove. Maybe he's trying to prove me wrong.
Yeah. He may have heard that. I mean, now, listen, if they would happen to win it, there would be nothing better than him coming out and say, that one's for you, Jim, like as he's hoisting the trophy.
He would never say that.
We just hope it happens. Okay. We hope it happens on a Sunday night, so we get your first thoughts.
That's
on a
right.
Monday morning.
Yeah, being a little selfish out here, we would like if it does happen over the weekend.
Well,
so
you know what?
Hear it first.
Hopefully it'll be a Sunday night where he goes 0-7 from 3-point range and they get knocked out.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, there's always
that angle too. Yeah.
I might fire a cigar in my mouth at 9:30 in the morning.
All right, Jim. Hey, man, thanks so much for your time. Enjoyed having you back, and football season just right around the corner.
All right, fellas, I'm ready. Good talking to you guys.
Yep, you too.
See
thanks,
Jim.
See you, man.
That was the ultimate Jim Traber joining us here on a Monday. Barber Dyson Ford, Jim Traber segment is back. It'll be strong this football season.
Oh, yeah.
I thought of something that we can talk about in regards to when the move is going to happen.
Okay.
That I hadn't really thought about, and I want to get your thoughts on it
tomorrow.
Why I think it's going to happen sooner than later.
Okay.
All right. Everybody have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.